The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Amen. That's good, John. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, please, and go back to the book of Luke, chapter 16, the book of Luke, chapter 16, and look at verse 9. This is a very important message I think could be most helpful if you ever in your life face a time of failure. Now, you may never face a time of failure in your life. If that be true and that be you, God bless you. Please let us know what type of orange juice you're drinking. But I think that probably everybody from time to time is going to face some failure time in your life. And it might be just a time that you go through in your life and you feel like you have miserably failed, though perhaps you have not. But we're all going to face those times in our life. Here in the book of Luke, I'd like to reread that again, then we'll go to another scripture. But Luke chapter 16 and verse 9, where the Bible says, for reiteration's sake, I'll read it again. He says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And so the Bible says here, if I may use that one phrase there, just three words, where it says, when ye fail. Now, to me, that's very interesting, because the Bible does not say if you fail. That's not the way the Holy Spirit chose to give us those words in that particular verse. The Bible says, when ye fail. Now, can I tell you, there's a danger in failing. There certainly is. John chapter 21, if I might get you to turn there, please. John chapter 21, look at verse 3. The book of John chapter 21 in your Bible and in verse 3. The Bible says in John chapter 21 and in verse 3, and Simon, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, so when somebody decides to do something, you have to be a careful. Why? Because there's going to be other people that decide to do what you do. And so here are those that are beside him, and they say, hey, now, wait a minute, we're going to go with you. The Bible says, and they went forth and they entered into the ship immediately. So they were excited about it. So here he is. Peter gets excited about going fishing. These other fellows perhaps haven't fished in a long time. And they say, hey, we'll go with you. Well, there wasn't any hesitation about that. They decided what they were going to do, and immediately they stepped out to be able to do it. The Bible says, and that night they caught nothing. And so here they are. They entered into the ship. They fished all night and caught nothing. And in verse 4, the Bible says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, the Bible says, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And by the way, God's in control. Can you imagine? All of a sudden from heaven, God directs all those fish to go over and a crowd inside of that net. You say, can God do that? All things are possible to him that believeth. And God can do all things. He is God. Never doubt what God can do. And by the way, when they fished all night by themselves, they were unsuccessful. You notice this. When Jesus gets involved, it goes from a staying awake all night, terrible time of fishing, agonizing. I don't know if you've ever lately stayed awake all night. I have, and those that have jet lag have suffered with me. But you try to go to sleep, and there's anxiety, and you can't go to sleep. Well, here, can you imagine? There's not anxiety of trying to go to sleep. There's anxiety of trying to catch a fish, and they could not catch the fish. But when they obeyed the Lord, there's something about obeying the Lord. When they obeyed the Lord and they cast the net on the right side of the boat, of the ship, if you will, then all of a sudden all those fish come into that net. There's something about obeying Christ, even when you're tired. even when you're weary, even when it seems like you've done all that you can, you've come to the end of yourself, you cannot go any further, but you obey the Lord, and by obeying the Lord, God himself always blesses. The Bible says in verse 7, therefore it says, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter. Now, by the way, we know whom that disciple is, whom Jesus loved. That's John the Beloved. The Bible says it is the Lord. Now, Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. It's something when Jesus shows up, people change. People change when Jesus shows up. They change their mannerisms. They change themselves. They decide that they want to do what is right more than doing that which is wrong. And sometimes when Jesus shows up, there's embarrassment that takes place, such as in the life of Simon Peter. Now, here's what we understand. Here, Jesus now is facing the disciples. Peter now realized that he has failed. And what does Peter do? Peter now, along with the other disciples, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And with Jesus being involved, they become successful. Also, you see, when Jesus got involved, there was some embarrassment that was going on. Why? Because these children of God knew exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, you're going to face failure in your life. You may come up short as a believer and say, I shouldn't have did that, and man, I just shouldn't have did that, and now I'm embarrassed. I have failed in living of the Christian life. You may come up as an individual that makes a business decision, and you fail, and you just don't know what to do. You may come up as a daddy, and you feel like you've just failed being a daddy, or you may feel like that you have failed in being a mother, or you may feel like that you have failed in being a friend, or you may feel like you have failed in being a church member, or you may feel like you failed in working on a bus route, or working in Sunday school class, or working in the nursery, or working as an usher, or working there singing in the choir, or playing in the orchestra, or playing a musical instrument, or being a soul winner. So what do you do when you fail? Some people say, I fail simply because I lack opportunity. All Abraham Lincoln, I guess, could have used that excuse, being born and raised in a log cabin, but he didn't use that excuse. Some people might say, well, I fail because of my lack of education. There's many, many presidents that have become presidents of our country that has not had a high qualifying education. Some people may say, well, I fail because I lack experience. Experience is something that you get by doing. And if you fail, you just try it again. But Jesus said, when ye fail. We must understand that failure is not a person, but failure is an isolated event. If you take failure personally, you'll get down in the dumps. I mean, you'll get discouraged. I mean, you'll get poochy lip disease. I mean that you'll feel like that you just got to throw in the towel simply because you feel like failure is a person and failure is not a person. Failure is an isolated event. It's not a person, it's a verb. Now think about this. 3.8 times a business is started in the United States, it fails. But those that keep going, they use the failure as fertilizer to be able to plant a better crop. It was Thomas Edison that failed over 1,000 times in inventing the light bulb. But he looked at it not as a failure, but as an event that would spring him forward. Samuel Truett Cathy, his brothers and he had a restaurant. The restaurant burned to the ground. Two of his brothers was killed. After the restaurant had burned to the ground, he was put in the hospital. They say he had knots all throughout his colon. And he's laying there in the hospital with knots all throughout his colon. And they fed him that wonderful, delicious, outstanding, tasty hospital food. And when he tasted the chicken that was in the hospital, he had a notion. He had a thought, I can do better than that. And so he got out of the hospital, and hence we have Chick-fil-A. There was, by the way, that is much better than hospital food, would you not agree? And there was Noah. We could say that Noah started a church as he built the ark. Oh, he worked 120 years at it. Oh, could you imagine they come by about about 25 years later, and they say, Noah, how many is helping you on the ark? What is your church attendance on the ark? And he says, 8. They come back, about 25 years later, 50 in all, and they say, Noah, tell us about your big day. And he said, well, we had 8. Noah, tell us about your church or ark growth seminars that you're trying to teach around the country to show everybody how to do it. Tell us your success. Well, I had 8. 100 years goes by. Oh, now wait a minute, if you will, but don't you thank God that Noah was used of God to build the ark? See, you might not see success while you're doing it. It might take a while. It might take a while. Abraham got a woman pregnant. Hagar was her name, started the Arab race, or the Arabian race, if you would please, through her son Ishmael. They've been giving the Jews trouble ever since. But yet, God did use Abraham to be the faithful of, or the father of the faithful. You think about this, if you will. First, there comes failure, and you'll see it over and over in your Bible. First, there comes failure, then there comes success. Joshua was defeated at Ai, then came the victory. Naomi had sons, and the sons died after marrying heathen girls, and then she became the grandmother of David. Elijah ran from Jezebel, if you would. Then he trained Elisha, who became a great prophet. John Mark left the missionary journey. He quit on God. He walked away from God. But don't you thank God that John Mark came back, because after all, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, yes, and then comes John, if you will. But it was Mark, if you will, John Mark, the book, if you would, the Gospel of Mark, that was his surname. And so you had Matthew, Mark. There would never be a Mark if it was not John Mark coming back into the ministry. Jonah ran from God, but yet God used him to be able, I think, to bring the greatest revival that's ever been recorded, where over 600,000 people received Christ as Savior. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a person, if you will, please, to see what God would do with them completely in their life. If so, many of you would look at our Savior and say, well, he didn't have much. He didn't have a coat. He was never married, had no children, had no stocks, had no bonds, had no 401k, didn't have a house, didn't have a place to lay his head, was practically homeless, but he's the Savior of the world. Can I tell you, listen, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that you cannot look at an isolated incident. So let me help you. Let me encourage you tonight. You cannot look at an isolated incident in your life and say, okay, I failed in that, so I'm going to be a failure the rest of the days of my life. No marriage has to be a complete failure. No child-rearing endeavors has to be a complete failure. No trying to build a relationship with someone has to be a complete failure. No Sunday school teacher has to be a complete failure. No preacher has to be a complete failure. It doesn't matter what you've done that's not been successful. God could raise you up to do something successful the very next day, though you have considered yourself a failure all the days of your life. Let me give you some modern day examples. There was Mozart. Mozart was a great composer. They said of Mozart, they said, you're too noisy and you will always be a failure. But he wasn't. There was Van Gogh. Van Gogh was a man that was a painter. By the way, all the days of his life, he never sold a painting. But now you cannot buy one for under hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars. You cannot pass judgment on someone just because of the fact they look like a failure today. There was Edison. The teacher said of Thomas Edison, you're unteachable. Can you imagine? There was Einstein. The teacher said of Einstein, you will never amount to anything. That's what they said to Einstein. There was Handel. Handel was a composer. At the age of 54, he'd never been a success in his life, and he had a stroke at the age of 54. He lost 4 of his fingers. But it was after he had a stroke, and after he lost 4 of his fingers, he sat down and he composed the masterpiece that we call the Messiah. Can I tell you, just because somebody gets knocked down, we ought not to count them out. I said, just because somebody gets knocked down, we ought not to count them out. Just because somebody has a bad day doesn't mean they're going to have a bad life. Just because somebody trips and somebody falls and somebody stumbles and somebody sins and somebody fails, it does not mean that God cannot raise that person again and use that person again for His honor and for His glory. Why? Because you don't have to remain a failure. Oh, I've had failures in my life. I remember when I tried to get engaged to my dear wife. I had the idea. I'd put the engagement ring in the seat. We did everything almost at church. When it came to making decisions, I got baptized at church. We got married at church. We met each other at church. We had friends at church. We had ministries at church. And so I had the bright idea. I want to get engaged at church. So we drove up to our church that night. I got out of the vehicle. I was going to get on my knees in the light of the night hour, and I was going to give her an engagement ring, but I had the bright idea. I didn't want her to see it, and so I stuffed it down. I was a college boy. I'm talking about a Bible college boy. I had not much money, and I stuffed that ring down in to that which is the stuffings of the seat, the foam stuffings of the seat. And, you know, as you drive along, you bounce on those springs, and that ring just kept going down, 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 down. So when it came time to get engaged to my wife, I'm pulling out stuffings on the church parking lot trying to find the engagement ring. I tell you, that was a miserable failure. My father-in-law now lives with us. He doesn't know this, or he did not know it at the time. He knows it now. We were heading down to have a honeymoon. That's a good thing to do after you get married. And so we were going to have a honeymoon, and we decided we were going to go down to Disney World. Oh, it was going to be great. I mean, we just had it planned ever so. But I had a raunchy car, and I didn't think the raunchy car was going to make it. And so I rented a car, went over to Jerry Ham's Chevrolet, and I knew Jerry, the owner of the place, and I said, I need to rent a car. And so Jerry let me rent a car. He said, you ought to sign a waiver. I met with him personally that morning. He said, you ought to sign a waiver saying that if something happens to the car, you're not held responsible. I said, well, that sounds like a keen idea. How much is it? He said, $1. I said, I think I can afford that. So I pulled out 100 pennies and no, I'm kidding. But I gave him the dollar. And when I gave him the dollar, I drove off realizing that everything is fine. Oh, we got married and we're heading down to Walt Disney World. We stayed at the Red Roof Inn that night down in Jacksonville, got up early, and we had breakfast together. Everything is going great. I'm looking at my bride. She's looking at me. I'm thinking, boy, I've got a beautiful bride. I still believe that. And she's thinking, oh, I got a handsome man. And she still might believe that. And so we got in the car the next morning, and we're heading down. Oh, my wife, she said, I'm a little tired. It was early in the morning. We just had breakfast. And she said, I'm a little tired. She said, can you recline my seat for me? Well, I got one of those cheap cars, you know. Back in those days, it had the dial on the side of the seat. And so me being the masculine man that I am, and me being the excellent driver that I am, I said, okay. And so I had my hand on the steering wheel, still making progress. After all, we're heading on honeymoon. And so I reached over, and I could not get it. And so I just looked over for just a minute. That's all, just a minute. What could happen in just a minute? And so I looked over, and I grabbed that dial to see what was wrong. I started spinning it back. I started making progress, and I hit some of those horse-looking wooden type of things, you know, that has the flashing lights and the orange little stripes down the side, and I didn't hit one. I hit about four or five of them, and man, they went flying in the air. One came down, busted out the windshield, glasses coming in all over my bride, all over me, and we pulled over, and she's crying, and she's weeping, and she's saying, I want to go home, and I said, no, we got to go on a honeymoon. We have free air condition right here, and I'll turn in the car later, and it'll be, she said, I must not tell mom and daddy, but I want to go home. So we snuck back to the place that we lived in, and we just went back home. Well, I felt like a failure. First time I got up to preach, man, I got up, I was ready. I got a little bit excited as I was going down to the rescue mission, and I got up to preach. I preached for about 7 minutes, felt like a failure. Some boys got saved that helped me out. Some men got saved that helped me out a little bit, but still felt like a failure. I'd get up to speak, and just like I was in high school, I had a stammering problem, and not so much anymore, thank God, but I'd get up to speak, and boy, I'd stammer all over the place, and just could not get the words out right, and all felt like just a miserable failure. So many times in child rearing, I disciplined one of the kids, and I'd have to apologize to him because it wasn't just the way I thought, or maybe they didn't do it, the other one did, and I felt like a failure. I've had investments that's flopped. Yes, I have, and I've learned some things, and I felt like a failure. I did my own plumbing. I had 5 houses before I came here. I had rentals and had 5 houses. We did all the work on them. We rented them out, but when I came here, we sold all of them. And I remember the plumbing going out, and I remember seeing that stuff that was called monkey glue. Is that what it's called? What is it called? You've used it too, Gorilla Glue. And I thought, man, that is good for piping. And so I put that around the piping. I didn't realize that it swole up when you put it around the piping. I didn't realize it was going to swell on the inside, made it 10 times worse than it was, busted all the pipes. Thank you. And can I tell you, I just felt like a miserable failure. And I remember going to youth camp one time, and I said, everybody off the bus, bathroom time, everybody off the bus. Little boy sleeping in the back by the name of Carson Server. His mom and daddy were doctors that was in our church, and he didn't hear me. He was sound asleep. And we got on the road, and about 20 minutes later, little Carson comes up, and he says, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, tough. I said, 20 minutes ago we stopped. I said, everybody off the bus, and you're just going to have to man up. He said, I can't, and used the bathroom right there. And did I feel like a failure. And I apologized to him, and we made things right, and we did stop after that. Immediately, I said, anybody else have to go to the bathroom? And I remember on a camping trip, I had some rough kids. You remember this one. I was at Triple S Christian Ranch, and we ran a lot of public school kids in our youth department back in the day when I was a youth director, and we had a large youth department, and we reached out into the public schools, and we led many people to Christ. And when two of the fellas, when they would have aught against each other, we'd take them over to the gym, put them on their knees, put boxing gloves on them, and say, okay, we'll take care of the problem. You have aught against your brother, take care of it right there. And that's not a Bible verse, and nothing there. But I put them on their knees, put boxing gloves on them, and I remember Reese. I remember that he, big stocky fella, he's a football player, and he had aught against this other kid, and this kid said, I want to take him out. I said, you'll have your chance. And so Sunday night after church, we gathered in the gym. I put him on their knees, put the boxing gloves on, and this boy had energy all of a sudden and broke Reese's nose, and I felt so bad. And that's the day I stopped putting gloves on boys and putting them on their knees and boxing. Boy, I felt like a failure. We went to camp one time. One little kid, he ate lots of pizza. I'm talking about lots of pizza. I mean, we stopped, and he ate lots of pizza. Mike Ray has a similar story to this, and that kid threw up, and another kid threw up, and another kid threw up. Oh, it was just terrible. That's right. You can owe as much as you want to. It was worse than that, and we had to stop. Now, I'm telling you, I felt like a failure. Now, you're going to have times when you feel like failing. You're going to have times when you fail. I remember one time I was preaching in Mississippi, Ken Shin's church. My dear wife was sitting there. She's looking at me like, you're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing me. She's giving me that look several times. She's doing it tonight. No, I'm kidding. But she said, you can read your wife. You know, you can. And you can read your... And anyway, she's had me looking that away. You're embarrassing me, embarrassing me. And I was just waxing elegant. I was. And I preached for Dr. Bachman several times at his church. And man, there's nothing. I mean, I'll just turn loose. And if I want to walk that away, I will. If I want to stand on the table, I will. If I want to stand on the pew, I'm going to stand on the pew or walk the pew. I mean, I'll just do whatever. And that night, I was getting with it, and I was standing on the pew, waxing elegant. My left foot was on the top of the pew. My right foot was on the seat of the pew. I'm stretching out as far as I can stretch out. And boy, I'm a spitting and I'm a hitting it. And my wife's face is turning 3 shades of red. And then she started to point. Well, I don't understand sign language. And so I just kind of ignored it. And then I got up there and I looked down, and that zipper was all the way down. So what'd you do? I turned around, took care of that, and kept on preaching. But can I tell you, that was an embarrassing moment. Now, you're going to have times of embarrassment. You know, I get embarrassed here sometimes. I know I don't tell you about it, but sometimes I'll mispronounce a word and I'll see two people giggle, and oh, I get so embarrassed about that. I do my best, and I'll get embarrassed about that, you know. And but you're going to have embarrassing times. You are. You're going to have embarrassing times. You're going to have times when you try and say something and it doesn't turn out right. Come on now, you're going to have times when you text somebody and after you send it, you wish you never would have. Boy, I chased that rabbit real good, didn't I? You're going to have embarrassing times. Now, let me give you some Bible. Here we go. So what do you do when you feel like you failed? Statement number one, come to Him. Come to Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you sin against God, come to Him. Come to Him. By the way, this is the neat thing about our Savior. When you come to God and you ask God to forgive you, God does. Not like man, but God forgives you. You see? And by the way, not like man, God forgets it. You like that? It's true. Over in James chapter 5 and in verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Doesn't say your sins. You're not Catholics. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. All right? So you confess your sins to God. You confess your faults to man when man is involved. All right? John chapter 21 in verse 9, the Bible says, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid there on it. So what did they do? As soon as they came to land, these fishermen we're talking about, what did they do? They came immediately to Jesus. All right? What did they do? They came to Him. They came to Him. They faced failure in their life, and they came immediately to Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 21 in verse 10, and Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. He's the one that blessed them. And He's reminding them that He is the one that was involved. John chapter 21 and verse 11, the Bible says, Simon Peter went up, the Bible says, and drew the net, it says, to the land, full of fishes, it says, and 153. And by the way, listen to it now. And so there were so many fish there in verse 11 that the fish's net did break. All right, you know, God wants to bless you so much that you can't hold it. Somebody say amen. God wants to bless you so much you cannot contain it. See, the problem is not on God's side. The problem is on our side. All right? And so what do we do? When we fail, we come to Him. Statement number two, you get over the embarrassment. Get over the embarrassment. Look, I know people that, I know people that do this. They get up to teach. They get up to preach. They get up to sing. They get embarrassed. And here's what happens. They say, I'll never do that again. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, I love you, but that's wrong. You need to get over the embarrassment. You do something, you wear something, you go someplace, you say something, you act some way that embarrasses you. Okay, get over it. Get over it. Get over the embarrassment and get back out and do what you're supposed to do. The Bible says in John chapter 21 and verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. By the way, He wasn't mad at them. He said, come and dine. That sounds like eating time to me. Come and dine. It says, and none of the disciples durst ask Him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They knew it was the Lord. See, He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be there for you. When you do something and it doesn't turn out quite wrong, right, what do? You come to Him. What do? You get over the embarrassment. Statement number three, you realize someone still needs you. No matter how bad you fail, somebody still needs you. You've got a wife that still needs you. You've got a husband that still needs you. You've got precious children that still need you. Come on. You've got friends that still need you. You've got a church that still needs you. You've got a Sunday school class that still needs you. So when you fail, what do? You come to Him, you get over the embarrassment, and then you realize somebody still needs you. You're important to somebody. You've got a mom that still needs you. You've got a dad that still needs you. You've got a brother, a sister that still needs you. Listen to your Bible. John chapter 21, verse 15, the Bible says, so when they had dined, now this is after they've eaten, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now perhaps he's pointing to the fish. Perhaps he's saying, lovest thou, I mean, he's got to be pointing to something. He's got to be saying something about these. So perhaps he's saying to Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? You spent all night trying to catch them. I brought them to you. Do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than your old life? You was a fisherman. Do you love me than doing what you want to do? These things you want to do. Do you love me more than that? The Bible says, so when he had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, watch this, feed my lambs. So what he's saying, somebody still needs to be loved by you. Amen. There's somebody out there. You say, well, look, I failed. Your grandchild still wants your love even though you failed. Your son, your daughter still wants your love even though you failed. Your wife still wants your love. Your husband still wants your love even though you failed. Don't let failure be the thing that takes you under forever. Don't let failure ruin your marriage. Don't let failure ruin your child. Don't let failure ruin your relationship with your kids. Don't do that. Now, here's what it says in verse 16. The Bible says, and he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. You see, there is people that are smaller than you that need your love. And there's people that are the same size and even bigger than you that need your love. There are people that's more mature than you, or at least to where you are, that need your love. And there's people that's not as mature that need your love. There's people out there that you can help and love. Stop beating yourself up. Well, I just failed. Okay, get over it. You go to God and say, help me, God. You get over the embarrassment. And by the way, are you listening to me? Most of the time when you fail, nobody knows it. Stay with it now as much as you do. Because you live with it. You sleep with it. You let it beat you up over and over and over again. And inside of you, it's like a cancer that will not go away. And because of that, you have anxiety. Because of that, you may enter into stages of depression. Why? Because you may be, don't get mad at me when I say this, but you may be expecting more out of you. I was telling a young person, this is my office, I don't remember who it was, but I was telling a young person in my office, you can't improve on the love of God because the love of God is not measured by how you earn it. You don't earn the love of God. God loves you for who you are. Now, God will bless you when you obey him, and God will blister you when you don't obey him, but you cannot improve on his love. Right. Well, if I do this, he'll love me more. Where'd you get that in the Bible? Show me a verse on that one, would you please? No, it's not true. Listen to me tonight. I'm saying this. He is saying this, though, to Peter. He's saying, look, somebody still needs you. Somebody's doing it. Well, you don't understand. I'm just not as good as somebody else. My Bible says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, God uses different types of preachers. God uses different types of teachers. God uses different types of parents. God uses different types of young people. Did you know that you're not supposed to try to become somebody else? You're supposed to let God use you for who God wants to use you to be. Don't try and become somebody else's personality. If you try to become somebody else, who's going to be you while you're gone? You know, somebody needs to decide, I'm going to be the very best me that I can be for Jesus Christ. I'm going to give God all of me. Here it is, I said, what do you do when you fail? You come to him. What do you do when you fail? You get over the embarrassment. What do you do when you fail? You realize that someone still needs you. What do you do when you fail? Settle the love question. You settle the love question. Here's what he says in John chapter 21, verse 17. And I have one more statement after this, and we'll pray. But here it is. John chapter 21, verse 17. The Bible says, "And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said on him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest." Now watch what he says. "Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." You see, when you truly do love somebody, when you love somebody, you would try to please them. One of the evidences that you love your parents is that you try to please them and not break their hearts. That's one of the evidences that you love your parents. One of the evidences that you love your Sunday school teachers, you try to please them and not break their heart. See, there used to be a day in America where we cared more about relationship than personal rights. There used to be a day in America where we lived for the other person more than selfishly trying to live for ourselves. There used to be a time in America where we decided, those of us married, that we would try to give more to the relationship than take out of the relationship. There used to be a time when people would come by the droves trying to figure out how they could serve God rather than be served by others who are serving God. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, how is it? What do we do when we fail? We come to him. We get over the embarrassment. We realize that someone still needs us. We settle the love question. Last statement I'll give you. Take your eyes off others. Take your eyes off others. Take your eyes off others. Well, so-and-so, they get to do that, and I didn't get to do that. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, Pastor, he mentioned so-and-so in the message. He didn't mention my name. What in the world are you doing? Well, so-and-so, you know, he got to sing a special. I've never been asked to sing a special. Well, was that Brother Yao that said that's right? There's a reason. Take your eyes off of others. John chapter 21, verse 21, the Bible says, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, watch it now, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what wilt thou have this man to do?" Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Now, Lord, what do you want him to do? Well, first off, it's none of your business. If the Lord wants him to do something different than he wants you to do, then don't worry about it. Jealousy. Well, I got my feelings hurt. Dear friend, if you get your feelings out of the way, they won't get hurt so much. If you take and get your feelings off of your shoulders, then somebody stop knocking them off. Look, here's how we have friendships. Here's how we have friendships. Come here, Doc, if you will, if you don't mind. Face me, if you will. Here's how we have friendships. I love him as long as he loves me. But then all of a sudden, if I get something deep inside of me that he bothered me about something, I draw a line in my brain. And it's almost like, I tell you what, if you love me, you would not dare step over that line. I mean, if you love me, don't you dare step over that line. And then so what happens? He steps over the line. I knew he didn't love me. Boy, that, this just bothers me. I just can't believe it bothers me. I mean, and he calls himself a friend? This bothers me. Now, can I tell you, that's reality. That is reality. See, here's the way we live. Oh, we want to serve Jesus. We want to give Jesus everything we got. But I tell you, don't you ever say something's going to hurt my feelings. Because if you hurt my feelings, my friendship is over with you. Well, come on now. My Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Okay, so I believe that he loves me. So one day if he says something that cuts me to pieces, then I'm going to say, oh, it's okay. He's had a bad day. He's entitled to one. In his case, maybe only one. No, I'm just kidding. but he's entitled to that. If he crosses that line again, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Crosses that line again, okay, 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 okay. All right, so your husband gets up in the morning, and he slept on nails. Maybe he was chewing nails. He was definitely spitting them. And he got up in the morning, and man, he's coming into the living room, and he's saying, boy, I tell you, I just can't believe that bed was so uncomfortable. Well, first off, why is he taking it out on you? You are not the bed. But he comes in, it just bothers me. And even the breakfast you fixed for me, it just don't taste right. Nothing's going right today. You know, I tried to turn on the light, and as soon as I did, three of them blew out. Bothers me. I got in the shower, and I turned it on, and it was too hot. Well, there's a dial that says hot, cold. But what the problem is, here's what I find out, and it's true. Maybe it's because of the, you don't want to blame it on the country, do you? You probably don't want to blame it on Dallas traffic, do you? You probably don't want to blame it on, you know, somebody gets on your nerves, do you? But for some reason, people get awfully tense, awfully quick. I would say if that's you, raise your hand, but it would be almost like we're fanning all throughout the auditorium. Here's what the Bible says, and I'm done. Jesus saith unto him, he says, look in verse 22, we're in John 21. He says, if I will have that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He said, what does it matter to you if I get him to do something I'm not getting you to do? What does that matter? What is that to thee? He says, follow me. See, we're not supposed to be following somebody else's position around. We're supposed to be following him. Right. Well, my sister, she got privileges I didn't get. Well, my brother, he got privileges I didn't get. Now, why are you looking at him so much, and why are you looking at her so much? Why don't you put your heart in the place it should be in following the Lord? Here it is, John chapter 21, verse 23, last verse. The Bible says, then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus saith unto him, he shall, not but die, but if I will that he tarry till I come. Again he's saying, oh, what is that to thee? Oh, what's he saying? He's saying, does it really matter? Does it really matter? I worry about people, I'm going to use a word, that jock for positions because of prestige. Yeah. Well, you know, I tell you, they should have showed me more respect. They should have did this for me. They should have, no, forget that, please. By the way, isn't it something in your scriptures where the Bible says that God chooses to make some abase, God chooses to make some abound. Isn't it something how God will lift one up and put another down? That's God. See, if we'd figure it out one day, we'd be happier people. If we just figure it out that we're simply supposed to give him our best, that's all. That's all. That's all. It's not a race. It's just serving him, pleasing him, and giving him our best. And then God will reward us so. Father, help us tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.